All right, we're doing it live, guys. Welcome back to this week's Fireside Freedom. This is episode 23, and we are talking about prepping for natural... Little man, be quiet, please. Prepping for natural disasters. So, yeah, it's really hot up here. I know that's kind of my current natural disaster, because anything over 80 for me is just way too hot. But tonight I've got Nate and Hawkins joining me, and I think we're going to have some fun, guys. How's it going?
Going pretty good. As you see, all the hair is missing. So it's currently
sharp.
91. It was 103 today, so we're just going to leave it at that. So.
Wow. Yeah, Nate, for anybody listening, Nate has his summer cut.
Yes, summer cut. And it's the first time in a year I cut the beard. So it is what it is.
You can tell it's hot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, man. So what have you guys been up to this past week? What would be like the top either prepping or just project around the homestead that you've done? How about we'll start with Hawkins.
That's awesome, because I'm excited. I got the goats are my big thing. And we got three goats. I don't know the terminology correctly, but I got a mama goat, her daughter. And then we got another mama goat that's expecting any time now. So we're officially goat farmers. We've had them for about a week or so. The fence is held, which is awesome. That's always the scary part. And yeah, they're doing good. They're go out and give them treats. I'm trying to train them on me, so they'll, you know, they'll come up. And they're a kinder, so they're like a meat goat, and you can meat dairy kind of mix or whatever, a mid-sized breed. So I wanted something a little bit smaller, but not quite a pygmy goat, because pygmy goats seem to be more aggressive. I've had them before, a long time ago, you know, for the kids and stuff. So that's we were really excited to get that, because that's a, you know, a meat source that we're gonna get a Billy, I think it's called. Does that sound right?
Sure.
Okay. Soon, you know, we can actually breed them, and that's gonna be a meat source that we can actually process without having to go to a processor and all that.
There you go.
Super excited about that.
Nice. We'll have to keep us informed as to how that goes.
Yep. And I see Brian over at the last project. Have you had to chase any of them down yet?
Not yet. Thank God. Yet is the key word, I think.
Yes, yet being the key yet. Word.
All right. How about you, Nate? What have you guys been up to?
Aaron got all the pallets pulled out around the garden. We used to have grow bags out there. So we pulled all the pallets up and then put in the comfrey, rhubarb, and the asparagus all in that area. So we had asparagus going in grow bags, pulled that out, replanted it. Hopefully it'll hold up. So it's been in that bag for 4 years now. So
nice.
Sunday I got the antenna moved for the ham radio. So
it's awesome.
A little bit higher now.
So you'll be able to reach more people. Is that what that means?
It hears better. So I can get out a little bit further on certain bands. So
nice.
Yep.
Hold on. So you got your ears lowered and your antenna raised.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just want to make sure of that one.
Yeah.
There's a joke in there somewhere. I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, I am too.
I wasn't going there.
Somebody listening is thinking it. You know it.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. What did we do here? It was Father's Day. So I got my man, they had a deal going on at Menards for like $118. He got the Black & Decker weed whacker with the blower. So he was looking for a weed whacker, and I said, well, let's go look at him. I said, well, let's get both. That's a good deal. So he was really excited. We marked my comfrey so he won't mow over it or weed whack it for a third time, and everything is growing. And then today we did an interior update. We changed out the faucet in the kitchen from the original 1971. So I actually have a nice looking one that we'll be able to use for baby baths in a couple months.
There you go.
Nice. Got to get all that stuff done while we can, right?
Yep, absolutely. That day will be here before you know it.
I know. I got about 8 weeks or so to go. Not that I'm counting.
Yeah.
Not that I'm ready to be done with this or anything, but
you're just excited for the next step.
I'm excited to be done prepping for the natural disaster that will be happening in 8 weeks.
Yes. There we go. Tie it all in.
All right. So just to kind of start this off, we're going to go around and we're in slightly different parts of the country. You know, we're more Midwestern focused, but so we won't really be touching on hurricanes or anything like that. I've lived through them when I lived in Florida, did not like them. The ones that I experienced, we had like 5 in a very short amount of time, which was crazy. But I found it really annoying with all the wind and the rain. But again, I don't live there, so I don't prep for it. It's not something that I focus on, but I do know that my friends that live down there, they say every year, we get the people who've lived next door to us for 15 years, and they're still freaking out going out buying their last minute hurricane preps. So if you live in Florida, Gulf States, anything that you get hurricanes, get your shit together now, guys. Don't be the newbies that have moved down there and are running to the grocery store for their milk and water and bread at the last second.
Yep, and hurricane season will be here soon.
If it hasn't already, I know they've had some big storms and rainfall come down there, at least through the Tampa area from checking in with my friends. But let's have a chat about what inclement weather and disasters you guys might face throughout the year. How about you, Nate? We'll start with you this time.
So the biggest one that we have around here is tornadoes. They'll come flying through here. We've had them as close as a mile, just in by in the field. So actually looking south of us, we had one come in within a mile and a half, somewhere around there. And then we get a bunch that are north of us quite a bit. And then the other thing I'm worried about is when the corn and the beans are dry behind the house, if the combine catches on fire, that's going to be real hard to stop that fire blowing through that field, especially if that wind's picked up a little bit. So those are like the two things that are possibilities around the house that I know of.
All right. How about you, Hawkins?
The main big one that for like our location of our personal house is going to be also tornadoes. For as far as the area, we do get a flooding. We'll get into that in a little bit, I guess, on how I prepared over the years for that kind of scenario. But if you're in a low area spot, I'm sure most everywhere, you know, if you're in a low spot, you can get a flood. So tornadoes, floods. Fires, we really don't have. I mean, yeah, if you got a big field, you know, but I've never heard of one since I've lived here of anybody having a field catch on fire, really. But like, we don't get forest fires or anything like that. So that's our biggest two. And then just strong winds, snowstorms are another big one. Ice storms we had a few years ago, you know, that knocked power out for a bit. So that's definitely something. I mean, that kind of covers. I was gonna say most of us. And but the biggest scary one is definitely the tornado. So, which is kind of like a hurricane, but without the water and not quite as bad because it lasts a lot. It's a lot shorter duration, but just as terrifying, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the biggest thing with tornadoes, you don't know they're coming. So.
Yeah. We don't get that, you know, 5-day, 10, you know, 2-week countdown of watching it show up and then not being prepared, because that'd be even worse, you know.
Yep.
Like a telegraph punch, you should be able to get the hell out of the way, but if you can't, you know, tornado's more of a sucker punch, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, we deal with the tornadoes, the winds, and then the blizzards and the debilitating cold up here. We actually, our town had, in 2017, a major tornado came through the town and the county. It was just south of town, and there's still plenty of damage and stuff that you can see. They just opened a new tornado shelter at one of the mobile home parks up here because they lost most of it during that. So it's really sobering to see, because we had tornadoes in Illinois, but it wasn't really anything we worried about in the suburbs, you know, so other than blizzards and the trains not being able to run. But yeah, so looks like tornadoes are going to be like the number one topic that I think we're going to be chatting about tonight, you guys. So how do you prepare for those situations? Like, what have you guys done? We'll start with you, Hawkins. What have you done in the past and are currently doing to prepare for when it's tornado season?
One of the first things is because we're on a new place. We got to actually pick where our house was put, all that kind of stuff. We are in a manufactured home, though. Mobile home, if you want to call it that. But I'll try to church it up a little bit, and call it a manufactured home. And that thing, it is strapped down. I've lived in one in the past with tornadoes close by. Any house, if it gets hit by a tornado, you ain't going to stand much of a chance. But one thing we didn't, just in general for strong winds, tornadoes both, I didn't put it right next to the big old tall trees. I tried to make sure that the tall trees, if they fall, that they're either going to, the tips of them might hit the house, but I kind of want to keep those far enough away. So, cause that's going to be one of your biggest things, debris falling and hitting the house or something like that. So that was one of the initial design features. If I'd kind of scoped this place out a little bit better there, we got a lot of strong winds that come from, the southwest. And it comes right up our hill. And I mean, that's why I lost the roof off my porch a while back because of that. It's a big flat area. It comes up that hill and just whips and comes right over. So to mitigate that at this time, I'm planting trees as a windbreak on that hillside because, it's been a hay field forever. And there was no house here, so it didn't matter. But, we're planting. I got a bunch of trees going in kind of strategically. Bamboo is going to be put back there eventually as a additional windbreak, things like that, to kind of slow it down on the way up. Let's see. We are also in an area that I've lived all my life. I know tons of people. So if something did happen and came through and completely flattened our house to the ground, we got about 30 places we could go stay that night. And I know that because I built those relations, that social capital over the years and maintained that. I bring value to them. They bring value to me. They got the same invite here if something like that ever did happen. And, that's part of your network to have. Like I said, I'm fortunate because I grew up and I've lived here all my life. And I have an extremely strong network of friends that were from high school. They have the kids same age. We're the same age. And we've been friends this entire, when you're 40 and you still got 20, 30 friends from high school, that's pretty good. Living in a 20-mile radius. That gives you a pretty good support. Plus, we're on the same piece of property as the family land now. So if our house got hit, odds are, half mile up the road, their house probably didn't get hit. So we're on that same, so that's another, that's one of the reasons we moved here is to be close to the family. So, those are all big risk mitigations. For the future, some of the stuff I have, and plus we got, the food, water, we got all that stuff prepped as well. Not just for ourselves. So if something like that does happen, we can easily support them. I even keep a bunch of extra winter clothes and summer, I don't throw away old stuff unless I have to. I got plenty of storage space. So, boots, shoes, so if I got a friend that has, they got fire, tornado, whatever, they lose it, I got some stuff to help them out. Same with myself. For the future, because I do live in this and tornadoes can hit out of nowhere, the plan is we have a shipping container, Connex, and the plan is with that, it's actually going to get strapped to the ground with the hurricane straps, the same ones they use for, the mobile homes and stuff. And I'm going to have it where you can lock the doors open and about 10 feet into it. So the last 10 feet is going to be walled off and it's going to be a room for that. So if we got to run out of the house and go somewhere, I can swing the door open, latch it so it doesn't get closed. We'll go in there and then, we'll have basically a giant metal box strapped to the ground. I think that's going to be a lot better than where we are here. If we have more of a heads up, what we've done in the past, and that was, I think it was just a couple months ago, it happened when we actually had a tornado come through right up the road. It's my wife's aunt. I mean, we're talking about half a mile in a nice big brick house with a big deep basement. And that's, as soon as we got the alert, they went that way and went to her house. On that same note, which I think is another good one, is having that network, because that night I was actually on my way to work. I had just left and I was driving straight into the tornado was on my path to work. And my wife called and said, hey, there's a tornado about to hit your work. A really bad system. You probably shouldn't go to work. So I stopped and texted my supervisor and I tried to check it out. And as I was checking the, you know, where the tornado was, it was actually about 4 miles from me on the other side of the town I was in. So I turned and high held, you know, headed home, and I didn't even make it home, and it came through, and I'm just glad that it didn't throw my car off the road, because it got where it was raining so hard that I couldn't even see. But, you know, by having that network of people around, you know, everybody's like, hey, you know, bad weather's coming. You know, everybody's starting to send text messages. Hey, you know, I see a tornado's coming for, you know, it's, they know where we live. We know where they live. So I think that, you know, it's better than having the, you know, because I did get the little weather alert on my phone. But when somebody's watching a storm, you know, when my mom's watching the storm at her house, sees it's coming straight for where we live, she's blowing us up. Her aunt's blowing us up. Her parent, you know, you got, it's like you got 40 people watching out for bad weather. So that's our plan for tornadoes specifically.
There you go. And that's not a bad idea, storing some preps a couple miles down the road, because you're, you know, you could, if you do it with your neighbor, like your direct neighbor, your house gets hit, their house gets hit. But if you got a friend on the other side of town, there's a good chance they're not going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense. That's one I can add to us, because I didn't even think about that.
And one thing I've heard, if you can't do that, say you know, you don't have the network like I do or whatever, is the smallest storage unit you can find for, you know, yeah, $15-$20 a month. That way you got, like you said, some of them off site, because hopefully right, both places don't get destroyed.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So with us, we have the weather radio. That's standard with us. It's charged up every April, and it stays charged. That sits upstairs in the kitchen. And then we have the anchors for cell phone charging or iPad or stuff like that. I do have a couple of weather apps. Radar Scope is the main one I use, and I do, it's a paid version. And that, and I can see kind of how the tornadoes move in, or as weather starts to move in. And then the biggest thing is I have the radios down here. So if we know we have bad weather coming in, we'll come sit down here. We'll turn on the weather radio, and then I'll turn on the local ham radio, you know, the one that gets all the repeaters, and I'll listen to the storm watchers, and I'll hear what they have to say before it gets reported to NWS. And that's the National Weather Service. So I hear straight out from them that, you know, there's a tornado, it's on the ground, there's debris. 30 seconds later, National Weather Service posts it. I already know about that thing 30 seconds ahead of them. So, and we've had that happen. So that is the biggest piece of advice I have, is get at least a handheld program, you know, something like this. And this is just a little handy talkie. It's a UV5R, and get all your Aries. So your, it's the American Relay, or no, Amateur Radio Emergency Service.
Is that a Belfang?
Yes, UV. That's okay. A UV5R.
I was gonna say, I actually got a Belfang, and I've hooked it up to the local repeaters and stuff. You know, that wasn't too hard, and I made sure I went ahead and put in the National Weather Channel or whatever on it, so I can grab that.
Yep, you want to have the National Weather Channel in there, and you also want to have all your local Aries repeaters. That's Amateur Radio Emergency Service.
Do you think that would pick up inside of a Connex?
Probably not.
Okay. I got a hole drilled already in it for like my solar and stuff to come in and all that. So I can run an external antenna. I was curious what your thoughts were on it.
Yeah. Just take even a magnet mount, strong magnet mount, and just run it out the front door. So, you know, do something like that. And you could even put a 50 watt base in that thing if you wanted to. You know,
yeah, I got a solar box to throw in it, so
yeah. But yeah, get that. That would be my biggest piece of advice: get a weather radio and get a handheld, program the frequencies in for the local repeater. And if you need help with that, don't hesitate to ask me. You know, jump in the Telegram chat and we can chit chat about it. So
cool.
Mate is your guy for all things radio. I've never even heard of the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, so that's something I will be taking a look into to get some more information on.
Yep, it's the main local. So you have Skywarn, you have Aries.
Yeah.
Those are kind of your two major groups, but your Aries groups are kind of the guys who deal with the disaster stuff. Like they're the ones that come in and run radios to talk out, like during Katrina or Michael or any of the big hurricanes down south. Those guys are coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, we are nowhere near to the level either of you guys are at when it comes to tornado preps. It's actually just been me and Little Man when we've had the sirens go off up here. Like I said, in 2017, they had a major one that went through the town. So every day at 12:01, the tornado siren does its warning. And every day at 12:01, Little Man says, oh no, there's a fire downtown. But whatever, you know.
I don't say, oh no.
You don't?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Please go back and watch your show, Little Man. The joys of having my husband work at night when I'm doing this. But so for us, it's been more of a, what can I do? Especially the first tornado warning that we had was back in December. Nobody's expecting a tornado to come in December, not up here where it's like below freezing cold. So that was one of those, we had gotten the warning that it was going to be hit, that there was a potential. So for me, I was just like, well, I'm just going to get a bag ready. You know, quick, basic go bag with 2 to 3 days worth of stuff in it for Little Man and me. Threw a couple packs of mac and cheese in there and some granola bars and was like, okay, this is going in the bathroom upstairs because there's no way, since he's sleeping, if this goes off, I would be able to carry him down to the basement. And just had the computer on with the radio all night long. Had the radio, the computer. I was checking like between 3 to 5 different radars to see what was going on. And then checking in with my husband, because he was also under the tornado watch and warning too. So I was like, hey, this looks like there's some potential movement towards your office. So keep an eye out, you know. But I mean, so for us right now, that's pretty much what it is. It's the Little Man, stop it, please. Go sit down. So for us, it's more of the, we have our spot. If it's just me and Little Man, we're going to the bathroom upstairs. Because if it's the middle of the night, I can't carry an almost 50-pound kid down the stairs, not at 7 months pregnant. If my man's here, we're going down to the basement. But this week, we're actually updating a duffel bag that's going to have stuff for all three of us, along with a spare empty backpack, just in case we need to split up or whatever. And then we can kind of balance the stuff that's in there. But yeah, it's not something I had to worry about before. Was if there's a tornado, where do we go? What do we do? Okay, then go take it off, put it in the laundry basket. Please stop interrupting me. So we're just kind of taking it one day at a time and trying to just have a little bit of something, you know. Got some toys and books in there for the little guy to keep him calm, and a little bit of food, because if something hits our house, I'd rather have that bag with a couple days worth of stuff that I can haul out of there with me and my child and be able to go to a hotel in one of the nearby towns for a couple days or whatever, back down to Illinois to the family, something, you know. But we've got some more preparations to do.
I got a question for you. Because one thing I've been doing with my daughter is I've been going over and over about, hey, if a tornado comes, you know, the plan is we're going to make the Connex into a place that we can go hide out, you know, hide out and hang out in. And one thing I was going to ask you, how big is your basement? Is it a good size or?
Whatever our square footage up here is, it's a safe, okay. It's a full basement downstairs too.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if it'd be possible, but like at our last house, I had like a bunker room and everything like in the basement. It was the old water cistern where they, you know, built a new basement, drilled a hole in it and all that. So it was a fully concreted room and I had a bed in there. And so if we had bad weather, we would go sleep. That's where the kids went and slept, was in that room. So that way there was no, you know, if we knew it was coming, there's no waking them up and grabbing them last minute. Just you go in there and sleep. We had blankets in there. I had sheets in there, like in a zip, you know, zipped up bag so they don't get dirty and stuff. And once I get the Connex done and stuff, there's going to be a bed and stuff for hammocks or something in there. And we're actually going to go every now and then go camp out in the bunker. So that way, if something happens and it gets bad weather, we go do that and it's not weird.
Yeah, you know, get them used to it.
Not really as scary, you know, yo, hey, there's bad weather. So we came to our safe house and now we're going to sleep here for the night, just like we do when we have fun. You know, that kind of thing. Just like if I was going to build one, you know, at one point I thought about building a concrete room in my building and, you know, it was going to be the same thing. Cause
yep.
You know, cause I know that's the biggest thing is they start freaking out, but if they've done it a few times, it's kind of calming, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We had a couple weeks ago, I had just gotten this pizza out of the oven for dinner and tornado sirens go off. I was like, okay, get into the bath, go into the bathroom. I said, he started crying a little bit. I said, it's okay. I said, we're going to the bathroom right now. I want you to go in there, get in the take the towel out that's on the thing, put it in the tub, sit in there with me. I'll be right there. And of course, being like the Midwestern mom, I take a look outside at the weather because I'm like, I'm not even seeing any clouds. Like, what is going on? Bring the laptop in with me to keep an eye on it. But yeah, you know, it, especially if you got the little ones, because he just turned 4, you know, so it's, you don't want it to be scary. But if they hear the sirens and they're going off for longer than the practice, the test, it's something. Our basement spot is actually going to be in the bathroom down there. So we just have to, we haven't touched it since we've moved in because it was left nasty by the previous owners. We did a quick cleanup, but it's really gross down there. But yeah, the having the bed or some sheets or something, that's not a bad idea instead of, maybe even, so if you got the basement, even a tote, you know, get a little tote mm-hmm. down there. You can throw your emergency bag with some food and stuff and then gain. You can
just have an air mattress and a sleeping bag or something and be like, hey, we're camping.
Exactly.
So camp in the basement, hang out for, you know, the night. And
yep. Not a bad idea. Yeah, and Nate, it looks like you guys have your nugget cushions.
Yeah. So right here, all that is the nuggets. Right there. And those are all cushions. There's 4 of them there. We pull them out, throw them on the floor, put their blankets on them. And we go, if we know we're going to get bad weather, we will usually go up and, you know, I'll be watching the radar and we'll go get the girls an hour or so before it hits. Cause I already see it's tornado, you know, or it's severe storm warned, possible tornadoes coming in. 70, 80 mile an hour straight line winds. So I'm going to go get the girls and bring them down here. And yeah, maybe 11 o'clock, maybe midnight, maybe 1 in the morning. But
yeah,
you know, this is, we've done it before. And that's, we always get them down here because we're 2-story house as well. You know, in the middle of the night, we're not going to have time to get down here, you know, get them down here. In reality, the cat is the cat. I'm not going to go digging for him. He'll figure it out.
They land on your feet.
Yep, exactly. So
your magic cat, he'll survive.
yeah.
That's my thing with the animals. Which I don't, is that, that's not one of our questions, I don't think, but it's something that I guess we should definitely address with that. Is my thought on with the animals and pets, I'm sorry, priorities, the family. I know some people say my dog's family or whatever. Cat, yeah, cool. But, you know, my kids are and my wife. Their priority. If I got time to go back and it's safe, but if it's like, if it's even like, I'll find you later, Skittles. You know,
exactly. And I hate to be cold, but animals can be replaced.
Yeah,
yep, absolutely. Here. Like,
love them to death, but yeah, and not to mention, honestly, with a lot of times, they fare better than people because they know it's coming and they know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And also with a cat, if I go grab that cat and it's thunderstorming, I try to take it out to that our shelter with us, she's gonna eat me alive. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get more damage from her than I will the storm.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's something too that you can work on. So a lot of the stuff with the prepping, it's not just making sure you have the things together that you're gonna need. It's actually practicing for it. You know, so
yeah. Did you see the Lodge Project's comment?
The dogs.
Because I know that it makes sense. I mean, different priorities, different people. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
And I completely agree. You know, if you got large inside dogs, it's a little bit a whole another aspect than We got a large outside dog that you don't know where she's going to be. And then, like I said, the cat, same thing. But, yeah, I completely get it.
Yeah, and the outside animals are going to ducktail and run anyway and go find their own spot to hide. Yeah. It definitely makes sense with the inside stuff. But if it comes down to it and that tornado is a block over, the cat's going to survive. You know, or we'll get another one. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, and even too with the dogs, it could be something when you're doing your practice. It's okay, you know, tonight we're gonna go sleep in the bunker. We're gonna go sleep in our tornado space. You know, bring the dogs down, get them used to it too, so that hey, when the family goes down, the dog's gonna come down too. And I know we've had some hard-headed dogs who just would not listen when I was growing up. So I know of one specifically who would be like, "Nope, not doing it." At that point, it's like, sorry, Brogan, something happens. Oh, yeah. Good luck.
You know? With the cat, if I was going out and like she's right there meowing, you know, like, yeah, I'll go try to pick her up. It's not like I'll just be like, kick her to the side and say, see you later. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, on the priority. And I would, you know, if we did sleep out there, I could see taking her out there and make, you know, I would also want to have food and water for her out there as well. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, my dog or whatever. But like I said, also, I got, right, you know, right up the road in different places, because ours isn't going to be a large scale event. You know, a tornado doesn't take out usually, you know, 50 to 100 miles swath of land. You know, it's more of a small trail that it goes up. Yeah. So a lot of those kind of assets you can quickly acquire if you have money, which I guess would be another prep, try to have emergency fund.
Yeah. Keep that cash on you, because that's especially when you're going to need it.
Yep.
In the same and there may or may not be any cash or valuables in there.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody breaking into my Connex.
It's in the walls, people. It's in the walls. Yeah, that's something else too. You know, you got to make sure that you do have that. And God forbid, in the tornado situation, your home is gone afterwards. What do you do? Do you have a plan in place with relocation? A hotel somewhat nearby that you, well, get a couple hotels just in case that one that you've been planning on also gets hit by the tornado, you know? You got to have that continue on fund and everything ready to go.
And on that same note, I just want to bring it up before I forget about it, because it's something I do try to keep up to date is insurance. Like right now we have homeowners insurance, and I know it's a little under covers, but I also have renter's insurance on top of that, that covers, it's kind of like an umbrella, you know, cause I asked a lot of questions when I got it. Cause, it's when we had all our stuff in storage in like my father-in-law's barn, a wife's aunt's barn, you know, stuff like that. And I said, you know, we had a bad weather while we were living with the in-laws. And I was like, well, if something comes through and destroys that barn, you know, is there anything that's going to cover me for that? And I called and, you know, talked to him about getting some kind of coverage. It was USAA, and it was under renter's insurance. And it's basically the way he explained it to me was basically coverage on your stuff. It's kind of like almost an umbrella policy on your stuff. So it's like another 50 or 100,000 on our stuff. And it was like 20 bucks a year or something cheap. So, you know, it's kind of like having stacked, because even if the homeowner's insurance is kind of screwing me over, hopefully maybe that one will be able to kick in sooner. You know, because they're different policies with different people. And, you know, just having that kind of stuff in place, I think, is extremely important. When you look at the, you know, if you can get $100,000 worth of coverage for even a couple hundred bucks a year, that's extreme if you ever have to. Hopefully you never have to use it. But, you know, I drink more money worth of energy drinks of that, you know, in a year. So maybe I can cut that back.
Yeah. Brian had a good comment here. I have digital copies of all your documents in a fire and waterproof safe. You know, yes, and somewhere that you can access it too. Right. You know, if you do the, say you get a small storage unit somewhere with some of your things in it, that's not a bad place to keep a copy of that. Because then if your home is gone, you know, okay, well, we're going to go here. We're going to pick up our 2 5-gallon buckets that have food, water, filters, clothing, whatever's in it, you know, along with our documentation, our emergency cash fund, whatever else you guys have in there. So you're able to continue on instead of, I always, the one of the worst things was that I've always seen after all of these disasters, just the people, they just look so lost and hopeless because they have nothing. They haven't prepared for anything. They don't know who to call, what to do, where to go. They're left with just their jammies most of the time. Because for some ungodly reason, most of these tornadoes and stuff hit in the middle of the night. And I wish I could figure out what the deal was with that, why you don't really get too many of them during the day. Either of you guys have any ideas?
Nope.
I thought Nate might be with, you know, because of all the weather stuff. I'm sure it has to do something with, you know, how like the I've always noticed that the coldest is, you know, right before dawn. Also the windiest. You got that sun coming up, so it's warming up air over here. You got cool air over here, so that's when you're getting that big blow, kind of like at night. That's always been my theory on it. I know with the military, when we did stand two, that's always when it's the coldest and it's the worst. You know, and you do stand two like 30 minutes before, you know, sunrise. It's like, why are we out here? This is horrible. But yeah, I'm sure that's got something to do with it. Or just, you know, the weather hates us.
Ma Nature's just insane. I mean, why else would it be in the hundreds up here in the frozen tundra of the north, you know? But, well, I guess before we move on to some of the other disasters, any last words or anything we may not have covered in terms of tornadoes and...
with tornadoes, I guess it's kind of generic too, is a game, like you said, game planning. Like, you can go through, okay, if the house blows away, what would I do? And, like, play those scenarios out in your head. Sometimes it's hard to think about. You know, if the house blows away and the building's there, what's in the building that I could use? What kind of assets are there? Or who would I call? Or what would I do? You know, like, I game plan that terrible stuff all the time, which, you know, mentally stressing. But when it does happen, you have something to go off of. You know, you have those plans. Okay, well, I did this, this, and this, and this. I think that's one of the biggest things, you know, because that's doesn't cost you any money. Game plan. Yeah,
those thought experiments.
Yep.
They're really good for helping you just get your mind in the right place so you're not that blubbering. You may go to that, like, just completely blackout blubbering mess for a minute or two, but then you're like, wait, I've got this. I know what to do. We've talked through it. We've practiced it, so... All right, Curtis says that it's the pressure and front changes and temperature changes, exactly what Chicken Hawk said, why middle of the night and right when the morning has started that we get the these big crazy weather issues. All right, so Nate, you brought up something interesting and not something I would have thought really, if the fields catch fire from the combine.
Yeah, and it happens more than you would think. Last year we had two 400-acre fields go up about 10 miles south of us. One was due to a combine fire, and the other one was due to reckless burning. So somebody had their fire pit going, and it sparked off it was either the beans or the corn, and it just took over that entire field. And that's a couple things I heard, you know, just last year that went, I know it's happened before. And once that gets going, you can't really stop a brush fire out in the middle of a 400-acre field. So it is what it is. And the best thing, there's a video out there running around of a guy jumping in his tractor with the plow behind it, the chisel plow. And he's flying through the field trying to make the break so at least some of his crop would survive, and it somewhat worked, but he lost 3/4 of his field. So it's reality.
So what, if anything, have you guys done to prepare should that happen in your backyard, basically?
Well, get in the truck and leave. I mean, that's really it. So it hasn't happened in this area, but it is it's something we need to look into after seeing that happen last year. So that is one of the things we will look into this year.
I totally agree. Be prepared to bug out. As much as I love all my stuff and I'm you know, one of those pack rats, and I keep, you know, I got stuff from middle school. But yeah, if it comes down to it, you know, it just kills me how some of the people just stay put when they know something like that's coming. You know, do what you can do. If you got to leave the water hoses on, spraying all over the, on top of the roof, spraying or whatever, that's great. But get the hell out of there. It ain't worth your life or your family's. You know, what are they going to do without you?
So. Exactly. Yeah. Get out while you can and just keep going. It's no different than a forest fire. You know, they're not going to tell you to sit around and water your house. They're going to tell you to get out of there before your house burns down. So be prepared for it.
Yeah. All right. Going from fire to water. How about for flooding? Hawkins, you said you've had some experience with some flooding.
Well, I think
I've been near it, I guess I should say.
I think I mastered this one. Don't buy houses in low places. Like literally when we go and search, look for houses, when we were, you know, we bought two of them, me and my wife, and even the one I bought myself, when I was looking for houses, the first thing I looked at is where the nearest water source was and how far uphill I was. And I mean, we looked at one house, it was me and my wife were looking at, and they're like, yeah, it's never flooded here. And I'm looking at it in the backyard, and we're about 40 feet up max from the creek. And I'm like, really? I was like, all right. And I was like, do you got flood insurance? And that's what I asked the homeowner. They said, yeah, well, technically we have to have flood insurance because we're in the floodplain. I said, all right, cool. Have a good one. And we walked, you know, and I was like, it was a nice house, you know, good deal, a lot of land, everything and stuff. But I was like, I'm not put up. It's just too easy to not get flooded. You know, I see all the time on the news. I live, you know, not far out of Louisville, right off the, and you know, so it's got the whole river running through it, and it floods, and you'll see people like, I can't believe we got flooded and we lost it, you know, they're crying and whatnot. I'm like, you live in a floodplain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. If you live in a floodplain, you should always know it's going to happen. If you're going to live there 50 years or whatever, you know, the odds are in your favor of getting flooded out, and you're going to, and floods don't care. You lose it all. You know what I mean? That's the other thing with the flood is it might as well just took the whole house away. And, you know, in my opinion, from everything I've ever seen, because I know if you don't get it gutted quick enough, you got the mold plus everything in there. It gets wet. I've had a basement flood before at my mom's, you know, just it was up, you know, uphill, but just the way the water ran, it wasn't draining away from the house properly. So we got a couple inches in the basement. Everything's ruined, tearing up all the car. I mean, it's just, and I think that might have been what kind of triggered me to go, no, I'm never going through this on my own. You know, so every house I've ever had has been up on the ridge. You know, we got a lot of knobs and ridges and stuff. And like here where we're at here, we actually got a house down at the bottom. And we looked at it before about buying it back in the day. And I was like, too close to that water. And now, you know, my daughter asked me, she said, what would happen if our house flooded? I said, well, half the country would be underwater. You know, because we're about from the bottom of the creek, say about 300 feet elevation change. So yeah, there would be a lot of the country underwater if we actually flooded. And I think that's the easiest way. Now that being said, you know, you got that guy that built, what was it? The water dam around his house and things like that, you know, have those kind of little ideas in place, but there's really not a lot you can do in my opinion for water.
Yeah, I know when we were doing our big house hunt last year, that was the first thing that we checked was, okay, this is where the map is saying it is on the floodplain, but let's check some other, just some other elevations to see exactly where it is. And some of them, I was like, I said, it's so close to whatever water source, we're just going to skip over it. And there were a couple that were a little, they were up higher and we're like, hey, we'll check them out. But then you go in and you can smell the dampness coming from the basement. So you know that the water table is still really high and it's just seeping up under there.
Yeah.
So we're probably 50 feet from our creek vertical. And it doesn't get much more than that. It really stays, it'll come up about 10 feet and that's about it. But we still get water in the basement. And that's because we live in a 100-year-old house with a slop concrete basement. So our basement is actually waterproofed. We have the sheeting going all the way around it with the drain tile and the floor and the sump pump.
And you still get water in your basement?
We get water going out the sump pump, but we have had a dry basement from that point on.
And it's now expensive. What kind of preps do you have for your sub pump? Because that was the other thing. You got the battery backup sub pumps or anything like that, or have you looked into it?
We do not have a battery backup yet. We actually ran into a little bit of an issue, so I need to look into that. The outlet is loose, so I had to replace the outlet. But it shut off the power to the sump pump, and then it started coming up through the floor, like the concrete floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple cracks in that spot, and it was seeping in through that and coming up. But as soon as I got that outlet fixed and the plug put back in, it was no problem at that point. But yeah, I do need to get a second sump pump. I do need battery backup. So that's something we need to look into. Yeah, I do have the inverter underneath my desk. I could probably run that thing for, I don't know, a good hour.
Send you cord from a generator or anything. Or like you said, a car inverter or, inverter plug up to the car. I mean, but like that's the biggest thing is having a plan of, if this happens, if the power goes out and it's a stormy night, let's make sure we got that, available. Because my last house had it didn't have a sump pump for some reason, but it was a poured slab. The basement, the wall and everything was all one big pour.
Okay.
So like I was like, where's the sump pump? And there wasn't one, and we never had water in there. The old basement that it was connected to, it's a really weird setup. But it had another basement kind of connected to it that was up, and it had the drain in the floor. And that drain worked fine, and there would be a little bit of seepage, but nothing bad. But yeah, that's one thing I was always kind of worried about is if we got a flood, so I had pumps and barrels and mops and all that kind of stuff on hand. Like I said, at my mom's house back when I was a kid, we got like 1 or 2 inches of water, and you got carpet down it. Anything sitting, any furniture sitting on it, it's going to turn for a bad mess quick.
Yeah. I know when we bought this place, it was $7,000 to waterproof the basement. And then we had to pay another 12 to refinish this section. We had to rip it all out, put the sheeting up, because the sheeting is up about 5 feet. And that's where the level or the ground level is. And then put the new sump pump in. It's 36-inch pit, 36-inch deep. And then, it was a chore, and it was expensive, but we have not had any water that I have personally seen in the basement lately.
So my parents' basement used to flood, and it was always finished, so we had the carpet and all that stuff. And finally, my dad got an alarm on the sump pump so that once the sump pump was running, that alarm would go off, and then if there were any issues, it would go off. And then several years later, after no problems, sump pump failed, basement flooded again, he got the backup sump pump. And I was like, okay, note to self, if I ever buy a house that is even at like the most remote risk of flooding, sump pump plus the backup plus that alarm system, because you don't want to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to find 2 inches of water around your feet when you get up. Cause that actually happened at my in-laws when we were living there 2 years ago, and they had the sump pump, but it wasn't hooked up. And I was like, you guys live in an old riverbed. Why wouldn't it? Well, we're so much higher than the river. And I was like, but we've never had rain like this. I said, but it doesn't matter. Like, you have a very high water table, get the damn sump pump hooked up. That was not fun for me to walk up and say, hey guys, there's a couple inches of water in your basement and we're going to have to like move everything. And
right. So I'll show my age here a little bit. If anybody in the audience lives in Illinois or lived in Illinois, the Cherry Valley flood in 1996 in Aurora, Illinois, I remember that as a kid. And our dogs were floating in their kennels down in the basement.
I remember that one.
There's another piece of advice. Do not keep your dogs locked up in kennels in the basement, because they will more than likely drown. So just a little piece of tip from me, because we didn't lose the dogs, but that was a real possibility.
You guys got lucky with that one.
Yeah. We had 12 inches of water in the basement. They were in plastic, like plastic kennels that were floating. our neighbor got, or no, our, one of our friends, like a block over, got the basement plus 6 feet. So that is a real reality.
Wow.
And that whole event was 18 inches of rain, or 18 or 20 inches of rain in a matter of 15 hours, if I remember.
That was the first time that my parents' basement flooded, actually, was during that storm.
Yeah.
Because we had only been in the house for a couple of years, and it was our first flood, and my dad's like, why is it flooding? And I'm like, look at all the rain that we've gotten, Dad. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's still coming down the hill from the court at the end of the road, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good times, good times.
Yep.
Okay, the last big one, snow and ice. So Nate and I have a little bit different, being farther north than you are, Hawkins. So for me, we can get blizzards. We get, like, it's not unusual to get close, like, 6 inches of snow and a regular snowfall all winter long. And then the minus 30s. And then you have the wind chill on top of that. But for us, it's not just the snow. It's also the power going out. And how do we stay warm? So, Hawkins, since you're a little bit further south, let's let you have a go at this one. So, what do you guys do for snow and cold weather and ice?
Well, my first prep is going to be out of left field, and I don't think anybody would ever come up with it. But it's saving call-in points for work is my first winter prep like that. And it's because, well, if there's snow and ice on the road, I'm not going to work. I'm sorry. They can get the hell over it. Because they're not going to pay for my vehicle if it wrecks and gets destroyed, because I've seen it. And they're not going to take care of my wife the rest of her life if I die. So that's my first one, because my wife used to have a job where she was a supervisor. They were extremely strict, and I worked nights, so it snowed all night. You know, we didn't know it was going to be that bad. I made it home in a little 325E rear-wheel drive BMW, 5-speed, you know, going 20 miles an hour. And it took me about 3 hours to get home, but I made it. She left in her little Toyota four-wheel drive, got about 5 miles down the road and wrecked it, you know. And now, and then that truck was done, you know. And she was like, I got to go to work, because they couldn't call in. I got a union. So we got, you know, you do this, you do this, you get punished this way. So I always keep those extra points for wintertime, because if it snows like that, I'm just calling in. It's not worth, like I said, it's not worth the drive for me to be there. And, you know, I do have a longer drive. So that's my first one. The other ones, I keep kerosene heaters. I keep kerosene. I keep propane heaters. I keep propane. So I got both those. The new place, I don't have like a wood burning stove, or everything's in the house is all electric, but I have a wood burning stove out in the garage, and I've already made the plan is if something did happen and it was going to be more in a little bit, we could easily come out to the garage. My father-in-law, like I said, they're within a half mile. We could easily walk up there, take the side-by-side up there. They got one of those big outdoor boiler furnaces. So, you know, it take, you know, and he's got a generator. I got a generator. I got three generators. I got one for me, one for my brother-in-law, one for them if they need it. You know, we got plenty of backups there to run the blower on that. You know, we all go to the main house and just hang out. You know, there's not a lot you can do other than that, I guess, is just wait it out. I do have like the roof rakes. So if I, you know, if it's that big, heavy, thick, wet snow, I would like to get that off my lean-to and my stuff, just so if it's prevented damage, you can keep. But yeah, that's the big one. Just sit tight. And like you said, if the power goes out, you implement that plan with either the generators or other things like that. You know, I would, like I said, I'm not scared to use kerosene or propane in the house or anything like that. Use it, you know, make sure you don't seal yourself into a bubble and use it. I guess that'd be the biggest advice there. And make sure you keep those propane tanks filled. You know, I think I got five propane tanks, and one's like the really big one, like the biggest one you can carry. I guess if that makes sense, it's like 3 foot tall. Yeah, you know, you throw one of those little burner heads. I don't know if you've seen those. They're only like $30 for a single or like $60 for a double. That's going to burn for a long time because that's actually how I heated this building. And that got me to use a lot of my preps is before the house was built, I was working out of the building down here. And so I was using my solar. I was using my generator. I was using my propane heat, my kerosene. You know, I was using all the, I was off grid, you know, in this building. So that taught me a lot of like how long a bottle would last, you know, how long a kerosene heater can burn off, you know, how many gallons and stuff like that. That's another one. Use it, you know, make sure you know how that stuff uses, you know, because the first time I went to use that propane tank and I went to put it on there and have to situate it and fire it up. And, you know, it is a little intimidating, a little weird because I've actually had my older brother call and, it, you know, when their power went out and it was wintertime and he's like, hey, can I use this in the house? You know, he was asking about the, I was like, yeah, man, go get, you got a bottle because you got a gas grill. Go get you one of those. They're like $30-$40. And if the storm is bad, you can use it in the house. So just keep the kids away from it. You'll be fine. You'll close all the doors, stay in the kitchen, the living room, you know, the main area, and you'll be fine. I was like, you won't be the most comfortable in your life, but you'll be fine. Do that in a couple blankets and yeah. Or come to our house. But if the roads are bad, that doesn't work. So,
yep. That makes sense. Yeah, with cold temperatures, we have the Big Buddy heater, bunch of propane tanks laying around, and that's going to be our power goes out in the middle of the night, bring all the kids downstairs, one room, and just heat that room. You know, throw as many blankets on the floor as we can, snuggle up. Because reality, if we lose power, I'm not trying to heat this whole house in the middle of the night. It's going to be heating whatever we need to heat. Now, in terms of work during a snowstorm, I fix and repair the snowplows. So if a guy breaks a snowplow out on the road, I'm going in to go fix it. So I don't have an option to call in on the, you know, during the winter months. We actually have blackout dates for that reason from October 1st through May 1st. Because we can get snow at any point during that time here in Illinois. There's been days I have had to leave at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning to make it into work at 4:00. And that's 47 miles away, give or take. So
now, do you have a company truck by any chance?
Nope.
See, that's where I'd be like, man, you're telling me the snowplow broke down and you want me to drive my personal vehicle on a road that has to be plowed to come work on this thing. I'd be fighting for that company truck.
And like, if you knew the roads that he has to drive, like the first half of that is just like open.
Yeah.
So you're going to get all the drifting and everything too.
I live out in the middle of nowhere, but I work at a shop kind of downtown. It's in DuPage County, you know, kind of in that area where once I get closer to town, it's going to get plowed. Mm-hmm. But out here, there's been a few sketchy times where I can't see 10 feet in front of me. And I drive a 2002 Honda Civic Si. So it's a little four-cylinder front-wheel drive stick shift. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going 5 miles an hour down, you know, my road, I'm still moving forward. So
yeah, that's one thing I'd definitely say on that same note. Cause like my car now is a Prius, and yeah, I've drove and made it home through some nasty. And I mean, like, I'll be like four wheel drive off the road. You're an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Just pass them left and right. Cause they're like, I got four wheel drive. I can drive on ice. And I was like, no, you can't. I even had a guy at work tell me that. He was like, oh man, if it snows, I don't worry about it. I'll just put a four wheel drive and go. I was like, you know, that doesn't work on ice, right? He's mm-hmm. like, what? I said, it doesn't work for your braking. It just gets you going faster. And then that's my thing. If I'll go slow and putt along and get there when I get there, or, you know, if I'm not on a, you know, time issue, you know, I pulled in the Waffle House before and I'll sit in their parking lot or go in and have some breakfast and hope the plow show up and the guy fixes it. So,
yep.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And then blankets and food in the car. That's pretty standard. Can't really do water because it'll freeze in there overnight. You know, we routinely see 10 below, 15 below down here. So, yeah, can't really leave water in the car.
Yeah, those car kits are they're definitely good to have. I know my man, he started his job the week of Thanksgiving a couple years ago, and it was his second night driving home. We got a blizzard, and he ended up going off the road. He was driving my Escape at the time. He said, I'm so glad we had the car kit in there, because he grabbed the blanket, like, just to warm up while he was, like, walking around figuring out what was going on. He's like, yeah, I'm not getting it out of this ditch. But, we had those warmers, the hand and feet warmers and all that stuff. So he sat there, he put the emergency light up on the thing, and a county sheriff actually drove by not too long after he ended up on the side of the road, or else he would have been there for a while waiting for his stepdad to drive out there to pick him up or get somebody to get him closer to home. But make sure too with those kits, those car kits, that you're going through them every season, because you're going to have all the warmers and stuff, but you don't necessarily need those in the middle of summer.
Nope.
So make sure that you're clearing it out, you're rotating, and if you do have food in there, that those snacks end up being your road trip snacks or your driving snacks the next season, so that it's always fresh.
Yep.
Yeah, no, the staying warm, that's one of the main reasons I don't, when we were looking at homes last year, anytime I'd find a house that was open floor plan, I was like, no. Because if we lose power up here, how am I going to find a small enough room to heat? You know, so where we're at, I can easily throw some blankets up over the doors here and just heat the kitchen or just heat the living room. You know, just find something to keep it going. But yeah, again, that's part of our goal this year, is to get, we're keeping an eye on those Big Buddy heaters, because we've heard good things about them.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. They're under $150, I think.
Yeah.
And then get the 20-pound adapter for it.
Yep.
Instead of running those little 1-pound cylinders.
Oh, yeah, no, because you'd be changing those things out like crazy.
They go 6-7 hours, I think, on the 1-pounders.
Well, that's not too bad, but...
Yeah, I mean, you get overnight on two of them.
I'd rather just have the big one. I have to worry about it.
It's easier.
We're going to have to make a note in September... have a car kit episode for like a winter car kit. I think that'd be a good show.
Yeah. The wife has a new bag coming. We got an email, text message from Special Operations Equipment. We have one of their medical backpacks coming, and awesome. That should be here, probably by Friday, I would think. And we got a text message, ordered it. It comes with all organization in it. So we'll load up half the side with like medical and half the side with snacks and stuff, and then toss a couple blankets in the bottom. She already keeps water in the car in the summer, and then jumper cables.
Do you use the emergency blankets? Because I keep those in glove boxes on everything. In wintertime, I actually keep two in my back pocket.
Like, okay.
No matter every pair of pants, I don't carry a wallet back there anymore. But and I've seen, you know, with the military, I would actually every year in like September or October, I would take in my entire squad, I would give them one, because you know, you get those gunners up there, they get soaked, and I'm like, man, these things cost me 75 cents. If you're cold, throw it on you. And a lot of them will use it. And then we worked a couple events, Thunder Over Louisville, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's like the biggest fireworks show in the world,
mm-hmm.
or something they say. But you know, there was some chick sitting there half dressed, freezing because it started raining, and I'm like, here, put this on and go wait for your ride, you know. Yeah.
That's the Mylar, the silver ones, right?
Yeah, they're so handy, and they're so small. I mean, like I said, you could throw three or four of those in a glove box, and if you pull up in and there's a homeless guy asking for food or whatever, you can air warm up.
All right, so Aaron, I know you're up there listening. Order some Mylar blankets off Amazon.
I know. I just made a nice note. Yeah. Get those Mylar blankets, because I've got a couple. But
you can get, like I said, you can get a 20-pack, and I think they end up being like 75 cents a piece. And break them out and use them. I don't know if you ever used one. As soon as you go to wrap yourself around, I mean, you can feel the heat coming, and they keep the rain off you. I mean,
cool.
Yeah, they're loud and they're reflective. So if you are lost somewhere, like, they're just so easy.
Yeah, Chicken Hawk, she wants to know
Amazon where I got them.
Amazon.
This was a few years ago. I'll look them up and I'll see if I can find my order here. They may be $1.50 now, but even $1.50, I mean.
That's well, if you find the link, make sure you share it on the Telegram channel.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Drop it in the Telegram. I'll throw it out there in both of them.
Yeah.
Because they're really thin. You could even see through them. But like I said, they're one time use. You're not really saving them, but that's going to save your ass. And like I said, the biggest thing is they're so cheap. Use them. You know, if you're a little chilly, it's wet, cold, whatever, break it out. And like I said, that's one of the easy preparedness I used to hand out. Like, hey, throw this in your glove box, man. You know, my little brother, my mom, all of them.
They're going in the diaper bag.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, she said she found them.
There we go.
All right. Yeah, we'll make sure we get the link, and that'll be shared. Make sure you're following us on Telegram, because we will share it on our Telegram channel that will then be shared to our Telegram group. Mm-hmm. And we'll also put it on the Mimi group too.
Yep.
Another great one real quick I'll throw out is the Harbor Freight moving blankets. Because you were talking about throwing up stuff to kind of like wall off. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll show you right now. I mean, I'm in under my loft area. You can see I got them separating that little 10x10 area because I keep that heated and cooled. But the other side, I don't. And I mean, they're great insulators. Plus, we keep them in the car for, like you said, a blanket. Mm-hmm. And I've even thought, I was like, well, what if I do? I broke down the side of the road and I had the kids with me. Well, I want to get them away from the car. So if it gets smashed into, so we're going to go up the hillside. I'm going to put that blanket on the ground. And now they're not sitting in the grass itching and stuff. And they got something, kind of double duty.
So, yeah.
I'm a bit of a blanket hoarder. So. I've got so many old blankets.
You can't even notice it in the trunk. I mean,
no, it like you fold like I've got a crate in the back of our expedition, and I've got like three blankets in there, and you wouldn't know just to look at it until you actually like dug around to see what was in there. That oh wow, there's a couple blankets in there. One of them's like one of those older army wool blankets, and that thing is warm. Oh my god, I was so excited when I found it. But yeah, definitely gonna. The Harbor Freight blankets, because those would also be good, like you said, for insulating that room that you're going to be using at home. If you got to stay warm when the power goes out, and you need, even if you don't have the one of those heaters yet, it'll be better than nothing to keep the heat in.
I use them as curtains.
Yeah, there you go.
They work well.
It's my bachelor pad out here.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right, guys, got anything else that we may not have covered tonight? We've talked about tornadoes, field fires, flooding. We didn't really talk too much about the winds, but that kind of gets covered a bit with tornadoes. But yeah, we get like regularly like 40 mile per hour gusts up here, and it's just insane. Never would have thought I'd run into that. And then snow and ice. Like I said, we did not cover hurricanes because none of us live where there's hurricanes.
Yep.
Or forest fires. Or
earthquakes.
Or earthquakes. You know, there are so many different natural disasters and just weather phenomena out there that you're going to run into that we don't experience.
Yeah.
So we don't have the preps. But again, a lot of it, too, is just going back to your basic preps. Making sure that you have a plan. And reviewing constantly so that you've got that going in your head so you don't just freak out when stuff goes crazy. So unless you guys have anything else. All right, Nate and Hawkins, where can we find you guys? And do you have anything new coming up this week?
So tomorrow night we'll have our first interview coming out. It's with Don Young. He's a EMT out of South Side of Chicago. We actually met him down at the Self-Reliance Festival, and he was at LFTN this past year. So we had him over for dinner one night, interviewed him and one of his coworkers. So we'll have that coming out tomorrow night. But other than that, you guys can find us at twochickshomestead.com, and we put out a weekly podcast, both Aaron and I.
All right, and Chicken Hawk Farmstead on most all platforms. YouTube's my main one where I usually put stuff out, but I have just started a TikTok. So You can check it out on there under Chicken Hawk Farm Set. Well, I listened to one of the previous episodes that I wasn't on. There's an app for that. And I downloaded a bunch of apps because of that. Thank you, guys. I think you were on there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about some TikTok stuff at the end. I was like, well, you know, about taking your already content and just kind of editing it down. So I started doing that. And then I just started making some TikToks because it was kind of fun. And yeah, they're cute. So check those out too.
Oh, all you folks on the TikToks. I am not on TikTok. But yeah, I'm Letty from Liberty All Day, this libertyallday.home.blog. I'm Liberty All Day. I've got a MeWe page. Then I'm Letty Lou on MeWe, Telegram, Discord. And what's it? Float. That's the other one. I can never remember Float for some reason. I don't know why. Sorry, Float people, if you're out there watching and listening. I do enjoy that platform. But we hope you guys TikTok. I love it. All right. Well, we hope that you guys enjoyed joining us tonight around the fire as we talk about prepping for natural disasters. Next week's topic is called Let's Talk Solar Power, which I don't know about you guys, but I spent a lot of time taking notes tonight. I usually do on the episodes that I'm on, but especially on the ones that I'm not on, because those ones, I have no clue. So next week I will be taking more notes as we learn about solar and all of that jazz, because that is just way over my head.
It's easy.
Hey, I just got my first solar charger for my phone that I ordered today because it was on like a lightning deal on Amazon. I'll let you guys know in the future. Probably be like a video on my Odyssey channel at some point. Like, hey, this is cool.
There you go.
But that's going like to be our intro to solar.
What's that?
We'll make a TikTok about that.
Yeah. I got a 300 watt panel back behind my desk here that runs the radio. So I know a little bit about solar.
All right. So if you have questions about solar, tune in next week. And thanks for joining, guys. Thanks again, Nathan Hawkins.
See you guys later.
Later.